time in American history, employed as it was to silence such socialists as the newspaper editor Victor Berger, the labor leader and Socialist Party of American presidential candidate Eugene V. Debs, anarchists Emma Goldman and Alexander Berkman, communists Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, and Pentagon Papers revealer Daniel Ellsberg. But in fact, the act is still used today as a cudgel against such whistleblowers as diplomatic cable leaker Chelsea Manning and NSA contractor Edward Snowden, still on the lam in Moscow for his WikiLeaks revelations about spying and other questionable activities on both American citizens and foreign actors, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel, by the United States government. Tellingly, as mission creep set in and clear and present danger expanded to include speech unrelated to military operations or combating foreign enemies, Holmes dissented in other cases, reverting to a position of absolute protection for nearly all speech short of that intended to cause criminal harm, concluding that, quote, the marketplace of ideas, of open discussion, debate, and disputation was the best test of their verisimilitude. Interestingly, in an earlier and similar case that came before the court involving anti-draft protesters convicted for obstructing recruitment and enlisting services that the SCOTUS voted to affirm, Holmes dissented thusly. Real obstructions of the law, giving real aid and comfort to the enemy, I should have been glad to see punished more summarily and severely than they sometimes were. But I think that our intention to put out all our powers in aid of success in war should not hurry us into intolerance of opinions and speech that could not be imagined to do harm, although opposed to our own. It is better for those who have unquestioned and almost unlimited power in their hands to err on the side of freedom. Err on the side of freedom. Call it Holmes's axiom. Erring on the side of freedom is not just for champions of free speech, but instead is intended to counter those who would censor speech in the name of some alleged threat. After admonishing Holmes's errant decision involving fires and theaters, Hitchens identified what he considers to be the three founding documents of free speech: John Milton's 1644 Areopagitica, Thomas Paine's introduction to his 1794 The Age of Reason, and John Stuart Mill's 1859 On Liberty. Daring to summarize all three of these great gentlemen of the great tradition of especially English liberty in one go, Hitch affirmed, "It is not just the right of the person who speaks to be heard, it is the right of everyone in the audience to listen and to hear. And every time you silence somebody, you make yourself a prisoner of your own action because you deny yourself the right to hear something. In other words, your own right to hear and be exposed is as much involved in all these cases as is the right of the other to voice his or her view." These are such monumental works of freedom of thought and expression that select quotes are warranted. From John Milton's Areopagitica, in 17th century English, not altogether familiar to 21st century eyes. "Give me the liberty to know, to utter, and to argue freely according to conscience above all liberties. I cannot praise a fugitive and cloistered virtue, unexercised and unbreathed, that never sallies out and sees her adversary, but slinks out of the race where that immortal garland is to be run for, not without dust and heat. Assuredly, we bring not innocence into the world, we bring impurity much rather. That which purifies us is trial, and trial is by what is contrary. And though all the winds of doctrine were let loose to play upon the earth, so truth be in the field, we do injuriously by licensing and prohibiting to misdoubt her strength. Let her and falsehood grapple. Whoever knew truth, put to the worse in a free and open encounter. Let truth and falsehood grapple in a free and open encounter." Wise words. From Thomas Paine's The Age of Reason, in his opening remarks addressed